services, Lavazzi at boom1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte podcast. I'm Debbie and I can't find my quote anywhere. Mary, have
the
you 20, got one?
The 20 megabyte what podcast?
Doctor oh, stop Who it. She said that to annoy you. It's episode 225.
I didn't know which episode it was, sorry. There you go, I failed as an announcer.
Yes, you did. Where else we got this? Oh, yes, Mary.
Shoot me now.
You can find
the
your
The official
now.
Mind can only take in so much.
And Kirby Bartlett at Slooney.
What are my instructions?
Mine, therefore, will be Doctor Who is required.
I thought Kirby was going to do that one.
No, yeah. Look at how I failed the last time I tried to do the obvious one.
I found mine.
Go on, then.
He's no great advertisement for the most with it place in town, is he? Sort of sums up the whole genre.
Sums up this podcast quite nicely. This week we're going to be looking at the war machines.
Really?
And we're in a very dangerous situation in the house at the moment. One, because we have a teenager in the house whose own quote of the morning is, "I hate Doctor Who with a passion." We have an eight-year-old in the house who's watching Frozen, and that film could end at any time during the show. Causing me great stress because she'll be nagging me to put something else on for her. We've got two noisy dogs.
Operate a DVD player?
It's a Blu-ray player, and it is quite high up, so you can't really reach it. We've got two noisy dogs, and I've been at the Isle of Wight Festival all weekend and barely had time to watch this story. So much time that I didn't have time to watch the story, therefore, let's get going.
But what about my excuse?
What is your excuse?
I only had a chance to watch this once.
Yeah, it was the same here, just. Okay. Only just.
And that was several days ago.
Too. Okay, right. It starts with the title sequence.
No, really?
Yeah.
And I do like the graphics.
Yes, this was the first time that they'd done something special like that. They went out and the other versions of special graphics that they did that I really liked were the war machines. I mean, that's what we're talking about. I'm not awake. I don't remember. I'm sorry.
It does look a bit odd. I just saw the sign of that order. Yeah. Odd when you see him in London hanging the out of order.
I'm not the only person can do that.
Be quiet. Hanging the out of order sign on the TARDIS, and suddenly they're clearly in the studio.
Oh,
it's
yes.
So blatantly
yes.
Obvious, isn't it? Why don't they just shoot this scene outside? Turby knows, and we're going to find out. Oh, no, he doesn't know. He's only watched
a minute.
Oh, no. Well, like when we've done episode 4. Anyway, it's the first one of the. Now, Dodo. That's played by Jackie Lane.
Mm-hmm.
I was never entirely impressed with her acting abilities. She's not too bad in this. When she gets possessed, I thought she was okay. But because when she was first in Doctor Who, she had a blatant northern accent, didn't she? Which very quickly sort of disappeared.
Yes, they trained the living daylights out of it.
Yes.
The other stories that had special opening sequences were The Tenth Planet, The Ice Warriors, the Seeds of Death and the War Games. That's what I was trying. When I was saying the War Machines, I meant the War Games.
Yes.
You may proceed. I will have locations in a few minutes.
Inferno and the Ambassadors of Death.
True.
Thank you. I'm always right. So then we're in the top of the post office tower, allegedly. And we first meet the lovely Polly, who's adorable.
Although, now, albeit
rather posh.
Which, Master?
Yes?
Which locations were you requesting?
I wasn't. I was just trying to sort of bait you.
The reason why that they couldn't film outside where they parked the TARDIS.
Yes, but not really that interesting.
I don't know if you've noticed, but all of those sequences, like when they step out of the TARDIS and the Doctor kind of, when he hangs the sign up on the TARDIS, all those were filmed with no sound. They didn't have the sound equipment with them. And like when the taxi they hired pulls up in front of the science center or whatever it was, no sound.
So that's probably why then.
All right. Okay.
Yes.
Bit of a shame, isn't it? Anyway, right. So, so it's funny how the Doctor sort of manages to sort of get into this particular facility.
I think they must be using psychic paper here.
Yes, they must be using the psychic paper.
Yeah, unseen, how did he get in here?
Just swans in and even know him. Oh, Doctor.
I think the writers of the modern Doctor Who must have looked at that and gone, how is he getting in there?
Talking of modern Doctor Who, this is a very modern Doctor Who, this story, from the Doctor Who. Is required. Now, if they not ruined it with that particular bit, it would have been right up the modern sort of way of doing it. Yes,
except for having a computer, which probably the capabilities of which could fit in my iPod.
Yes.
Okay. This is 1966.
it's not sentient though.
Okay. Right, so the Doctor is introduced.
Well, maybe
to
my iPod is.
Wotan. I keep calling it Wotan. I don't know whether it can be Wotan.
Why did they call it Wotan?
Because that's how you pronounce Wotan.
the abbreviation, the first word of the abbreviation was, I've got it in my notes, world. So it's not world. So how is it Wotan when the first word is?
Because it's Wotan from the Ring cycle of operas. It is Wotan. I'm trying to remember if Wotan's from that or if it's from the Norse gods anyways. Wotan, a Norse god. Let me look.
It's irrelevant.
Well, I'm going to take over the world.
Exactly. It's supposed to be an abbreviation. Moving on.
Yeah.
So very quickly.
They don't explain it.
No. Very quickly, Dodo gets sort of semi-taken over. That's why I would say she was quite good with the old slightly possessed look. And they tell her to sit down and stuff. The Doctor suggests she gets taken, or somebody suggests she gets taken to some nightclub. With a quite sort of good name for a 1960s nightclub, isn't it? It looks a bit like the Cavern, doesn't it, in some ways, when I saw it. Love to have seen this scene in colour.
Yes. Wotan is the Germanic, the Anglo-Saxon way of saying Odin. But that's how you would pronounce it. It's Wotan.
It's still irrelevant because it's.
I don't care. It comes from world, so I want it to be pronounced that way.
I agree with Mary. So we meet Kitty, who then introduces them to miserable Ben.
Yeah.
And immediately, what's her name again? Polly flirts with him, and sort of cheers him up fairly.
Actually, Ben is kind of a jerk.
Is he?
Yeah.
He's for the first bit, isn't he?
He's a bit grumpy. Yeah. But later on in the story, he's fine. He has a bit of a scrap with someone, doesn't he?
Yeah, he sort of takes his place a bit.
Not being funny, right? He calls him a jerk. He's the jerk, the bloke he has a fight with, because he's trying to sort of...
except I don't like his calling... He calls Polly these various... I'm trying to remember some of these little nicknames, like Duchess and things like that, which I realize is very 60s, but I just don't like it.
Okay. So the Doctor, meanwhile, goes to this conference where they announce that Wotan, and I'm going to call it Wotan, is going to be linked in quite wisely, of course, to all the main computers in the world. Brilliant plan. I wonder who came up with this plan. Was it perhaps that Nigel, what's his name, from the UKIP? That sort of plan he'd come up with, isn't it? Yes.
I do like the fact that this is a press conference. They were able to bring the actual BBC camera 2 that they were using on screen, so that you can
actually makes a guest appearance.
Yeah. Yes,
yeah, brilliant. Then they're waiting the whoops. Oh, does it survive?
They're waiting the whoops.
Maybe he's just dropped her iPad. And it hasn't broken.
No, that's right.
I would have felt really bad if it had.
No, I don't know.
Anyway, right. So, and while they're waiting for Professor, what's his name?
Brett
to arrive, he then gets sort of taken over by Wotan, as does this chap, Major Moustache.
Major Moustache. I did like the graphics here, the absolute overacting of being possessed is brilliant, but just having that sort of
That circly thing, yeah. It's just a spiral going around, but they've used that, similar things to that when in the Ice, not in the Ice Warrior, yeah, it was one of the Ice Warriors, the second Ice Warrior story.
It's just a nice sort of little, indicate it's speaking.
Yes. So we return to the Inferno, where Ben's cheered up a bit, but told... this minute ago, they've just been dancing. This is Dodo, and Ben have just been dancing. And she shows no sign of a headache until they sort of stop at the bar, and then she said she's had a headache for a while. So if you've had a headache, you don't really feel like going to a noisy nightclub and dancing, do you? That was a bit weird.
Yeah.
And then back at the conference, eventually Professor Brett turns up just as things are coming to an end.
I do like, Lord Summer or...
Lord Summer.
Yeah, Sir Charles
Summer. Sir Charles. Yeah, he's so pompous,
he's
isn't
brilliant.
He?
He just gets the Doctor straight away.
Yeah, very rare in Doctor Who that a very pompous character that isn't sort of made to look like a baddie. So that's quite rare. Anyway, like I say, Moustache Man gets taken over, and then they set the ball rolling.
Club plugs him into Wotan.
Yeah, and they give Doctor a phone call. After taking over Professor Kettlewell. No, it's not called that, is he? This sorry, the glass man. He resists,
Professor
though, doesn't
Brett.
He? No, that's not Professor
no,
Brett.
Right.
The begins with K.
Crimpton,
that's it.
Crimpton, yeah.
Yeah. And then the fourth one on the list, of course, is the Doctor, because he's required. Oh, sorry, Doctor Who, because he's required by...
Who?
But, yeah, of course, I did forget to mention that Wotan knows what TARDIS means.
Wotan.
Yes.
But he doesn't know the Doctor is not called Doctor Who, so he's not that clever, is he? Right, sorry, that really winds me up. That's the thing that ruins this story for me, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm not going to... obviously, I'll say it at the end, we'll think of it, but it does completely ruin it for me. Because I find it so irritating. You know, I mean, I suppose you could always make a version of it where you just bleep out those bits and maybe a bit more enjoyable.
It bothers me, annoys me
greatly, and it always has done, always will do. In fact, when I first saw this story, I remember getting a cold shiver down my spine when it came out. I was like, and then I thought, actually, it's just once. This is all. And it went on and on. Sorry?
Master? Yes? You must really love this DVD, because that is the sound clip which plays during the main menu.
I know. They did that to annoy me. So the Doctor goes down to the Inferno Club. A very rare used exterior shot of it, isn't it, with the Inferno sign?
I like the guys waiting to catch the Doctor, who blatantly show the bottle and the piece of rag. We're ready. Yeah. It's the bottle.
Yeah.
and old Dodo's making it so obvious. She's trying to sort of coax the Doctor into doing certain things, and then this tramp wants the taxi, and gets paid off. So
the tramp had the taxi, but he only had a pound on him.
So he goes and sleeps in the warehouse.
Yeah.
So it's their fault that he ends up.
He says it's one of the best of places to kip down. So.
Yeah. Okay, if you say so. Mm. So in that warehouse that the tramp. Sort of witnesses the starting of building of the war machines, and your birds are very interested in that, of course, Mary. And then we find the Doctor reads the newspaper next day, because obviously some time must have passed between this death and stuff, because he reads the death in the newspaper.
Except the tramp dies during the night. How does it show up in the news the very next day?
And it's quite a nice stock photo of the tramp as well on the page.
Looking
like a tramp.
Because
tramps often have an ID photograph of themselves looking like tramps.
And does every tramp who dies on the street get his photo in the newspaper?
No.
Maybe. No.
Right, so we're back at Sir Charles's office. Dodo is trying to get the Doctor to take a phone call. Yes. And the Doctor does some heavy overacting, doesn't he? Or sorry, William Hartnell does some heavy overacting.
She gives herself away because she thinks that he should have had the phone call, should be long to Votan now. Yeah. So
And then we get that very Doctor-y scene when he sort of undoes the hypnosis. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's the first time we see a Doctor do that, which I quite liked.
Yeah, you have to wonder, why would the machine resort to one phone call at a time taking over people when it could go over the television and get large swaths of people all at the same time?
Yeah, but obviously at this time it was a concept they decided to go down, the telephone concept, which is okay, I think. They have tried it in Modern Who, though, with mobile phones. Mm-hmm. They had one of the Cybermen stories, I think, had that. They used the mobile phone, which they could have used television in that as well. They didn't, so. They could use computers. They've done others. They've used sat-navs.
Bluetooth tech.
I think they've used most technology in Doctor Who at some point. But they tend to focus on a particular line of technology, which is fair enough.
War machine looks like a milk float.
After the Doctor deals with the hypnosis, Jackie Lane simply disappears.
Yeah, so that was her last scene.
Forever.
Her contract ran out halfway through, didn't it? And they chose not to replace it.
It was quite a good exit scene. It's just a shame that it was a bit of a naff exit to the series. But the actual scene she played was quite a good scene.
So. Yes.
She gets sent down to Sir Charles's country house for peace and quiet for
so,
a few days.
So basically she turns into Sir Charles's little bit on the side. Meanwhile, they've built the war machine and they test it out by just cold-bloodedly killing one of the sort of workers, which I thought was a bit horrible. But supposed to be, but I just thought maybe it's a little bit too horrible.
The ray gun sort of smoke pouring out thing that they use looks very Dalek.
Yes, especially movie Dalek.
Mm. Yes.
So, meanwhile, Ben is starting to become the Doctor's little action sidekick. He's the one that sort of takes it upon himself to go in, because obviously he needs to find out what's going on. Now, does he know that Polly's in there at this point?
No, not yet.
No. But when he does find out Polly's in there, he eventually, I'll move on to episode 3 now, but he eventually gets saved by Polly, who it was quite an interesting scene, wasn't it?
Her friendship for him is still.
Yeah, even though they've only just met.
Yes,
Hold that thought.
Hold that thought.
Electric one's alright. Yeah, get to the gas.
It's the meter man.
Hold on. Magic.
It's all gone here this morning.
Magic, come here. Right, if you'd like to come, I'd take the long route round his teeth.
Magic. No, don't be daft. I think I need to bring a type of incidental music sometimes. Magic. Magic went for the meter man. Hello,
is that a song by the Beatles? No, that's
Right.
I doubt that guy would have enjoyed being called Rita.
Rita.
On one
man.
Finger greeting from Alicia.
Right.
Right, we'll get up to. So Ben meets Polly and soon realises she's been a bit brainwashed. Now, the interesting thing about this scene, of course, like you said, that was the friendship that won him through to get out, basically, which is very Moffat-y, because it was sort of around that sort of love side of things. But it just wasn't very realistic because they'd only just met.
But there was a kinship there, I think. That's what they were sort of...
Yeah, I don't mind.
...getting at that spoke through.
I quite liked... I thought that was quite charming in a way that...
Well, I thought for a while...
And she played it well with her eyes.
Yeah, I thought she was actually just pretending for a while.
Well, she is actually acting. So
I know.
Yes, and there's also a scene where they're going to kill Ben, but she says, but he will be useful because he's the new companion. Oh, no, she didn't actually say those words.
I thought it was rather strange that they put him to work without hypnotizing him.
Yeah.
Of course, that drives the plot forward, but still,
yes, indeed.
It was kind of strange.
So also, I forgot to mention that when the Doctor had that funny turn with the phone call, he was offered alcohol by way of... recovery.
Just water.
Yeah, brandy.
It's only Matt Smith who's had the problem with alcohol.
Is it? Okay. Interesting. Quite that these boxes have got W's on. Why? Why do they need branding?
I'm just surprised they've already been branded.
That's true.
This is all happening in less than 24 hours. You know, quick.
Yeah, this huge stockpile has happened. Yeah.
Yeah, I've done a very good job building them so quick. All 9 of them. So, and the birds are agreeing with me, as you can hear.
Ben gets out because everybody's so busy.
I would say her, this facial changes that she does are really, really good. This is Polly, played by Annika Wills, or as Siobhan Galashan of the Flash and Babe podcast says, Anique Wills. it's not Siobhan, is it? It's that chap from the Professor Dave from the DWO WhoCast. Who calls that Anique Wills? Now, he's actually spoken to her. I wonder if she got a bit annoyed by being called Anique when her name's Annika. So, moving on. So, Ben returns and says that he's got to rescue Polly because she saved his life, etc., etc.
Polly's gone back to Votan to say that she betrayed the cause.
So, why didn't they just kill her there? And then why is she sent back to Votan?
Because it's not in the script.
Yeah, exactly. So basically this is a point in which all the war machines start attacking London and stuff. And whatever the soldiers hail at them, that's the right word, isn't it?
The soldiers basically get the drop on them before they've completed testing.
Yeah. And this is very reminiscent.
Here's my plan of attack. Looks like a nail. No, it's attack.
It's very reminiscent, and I don't know if you can call it
good
reminiscent.
Show, sorry,
where it's reminiscent to when it's something that comes in the future of UNIT and stuff like that. It's got that feel about this story, and that's why I love seeing Hartnell in these scenes, because it just sort of makes it more Doctor-ish for me.
And I love how he's just right in there with the leaders of the military.
Yes, Kobe.
I like how he's just right in there with the leaders of the military.
Yes.
Right up front.
That's iconic.
Yeah, Debbie likes the iconic scene at the end of episode 3 when the camera sort of... Would you stop knocking the table?
Yeah, the one that you put the picture up of.
Yes, I put that picture up.
Yeah, exactly.
That was great.
Yeah, it was.
And this is the first time I made it this far into the story, and I just thought that was fantastic.
Mm. Yeah, I like the sign behind his head that says GEO Burrows Limited. anyway, moving on. So that's the end of episode 3. And I don't think that was brought back in episode 4. I think they reshot it in a slightly different way.
Yeah, it wasn't quite the same. I was disappointed.
Yeah. I suppose you could sort of think it's just slightly from a different angle.
I tell you what, after watching it for at least 2 hours, I had the sound.
2 hours? It's only an hour.
No,
hour
for
and a half.
Afterwards, I had the sound of the war machines in Votan in my head. Oh, that going on for ages.
Yeah, the sound is extremely annoying, yeah.
Which means right now you're hypnotized by Votan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
Sorry.
I better go and build something.
Yes, this is where you see former friend of the show.
Yeah.
Bless him. The late great, and I call him great because he was great,
he was.
Kenneth Kendall, who's when I spoke to him completely forgotten about.
He wasn't in Doctor
Who. Well, no, yeah. I think he remembered vaguely that he was in it, but he can't remember in what capacity. We couldn't remember what capacity. That's why when I interviewed him, it was basically about him rather than his connection with Doctor
Who. Yeah, apparently during this period, he wasn't directly working for the BBC anymore. He was doing this sort of work where he was being... I'm the newscaster.
No, was he?
In various television shows and movies. That was his full time job during.
You never told me that.
Well, it's in the
Wikipedia.
It's in the info text. And then 2 years, I believe it was 1 or 2 years after this, he went back to the BBC as the newsreader and continued until he retired.
Yes, he did. Mm-hmm. I remember that. I remember him being a news. I did live in this country, you know. Moving on. Right, there's a line in which the doctor says, "Let me have that screwdriver, young man. Well, use your sonic one." right, so, right. How long is it in with the doctor's? The doctor, they capture one. I don't know how they managed to capture one.
Because it wasn't. Wasn't finished. Properly. It wasn't finished. They got the drops on them.
No.
Master.
The one that's captured has been finished, but they lure it into Not that one.
The one that they're playing with first.
They're playing with it first, so the doctor works out how it works.
Oh, yeah. The programming was not finished. Yeah. Because they had.
Yeah, so they can. So you can work out how to.
Well, Machine 9's the one that goes ape and nuts and loses the control panel or something.
Well, there's a bit of inconsistency with the numbers, I must admit. There he is with his glasses on, look. He makes him look even more doctory.
The one that's brainy specs.
Bigger on the inside podcast, the old.
Oh, he bangs his head there. I didn't notice that. He's rubbing it as well.
Is that scripted, I wonder? Anyway.
I don't think so. Watch.
No, I was just thinking, the Bigger on the Inside would call him one, wouldn't they? Because they have the thing about calling doctors by their numbers, which really irritates me. So I don't know what they're going to call a hurt. Mind you, that must have
hurt
him.
They call him War, don't they, or something? He really bangs himself, rubs his head a bit first.
Yeah. Bless him. That'll be an episode. Here we go. It's not so much his head. I think it's his shoulder. Yeah. Or he catches his ear.
Oh, his ear. Yeah. It's episode four.
Five minutes and 49 seconds. Oh, I'm getting a news flash coming through on my phone. Doctor Who has been cancelled. Oh, that's good news. No, it's Michael Schumacher is no longer in a coma, which is lovely news, isn't it?
Yes, he's
been in a coma for about seven months. So, amazing. He's a racing driver, by the way, Kirby. Michael Schumacher's probably the greatest Formula One racing driver of all time. I can hear Andy Nunney getting very cross.
Yeah,
he hears that. Great news that somebody is recovering from a long-term coma, Kirby. That's had a terrible head injury, not through motor racing, but through a skiing accident. And you snore at the marvellous announcement that he's on the mend. Grief.
I wonder if that's why. Oh, are you still there?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that's my iPod just came up with some sort of.
What?
Oh, yeah, it's the same thing. It's this F1 legend. Michael Schumacher has. Oh, my God.
Anyway, right, so. I love the way they call the post office the tower, the GPO tower. It's called the BT Tower now, isn't it? Or is it? It's got another name.
I can't remember what it's called now.
I think it's called the BT Tower. This chap is supposed to be American, isn't he? Not a very good American. It's worse than bloody. Nicola Bryant's American accent. Now, Kirby's going to say, he was American.
No, this guy isn't American. This is the guy on the street who's going, it's looking right at me.
Oh, there was one bloke on it that was supposed to be American. I can't remember. I've only seen this once. Yeah. So,
I am Boringer Blue Stabilizer this week. Okay. I don't have a whole lot of...
What you're telling me is the quiz is going to be extremely interesting.
Yes.
It's not
more interesting than you think. We don't know yet. Right then, let's see if we can spot the bit with Mike Reed in it. That's him there.
Mike Reed is
a famous comedian that's no longer with us, but used to be in EastEnders, and he used to play a character called Frank Butcher.
Frank Butcher, yeah.
Yes, and he... non-speaking part in this story.
Helping do up the boxing ring.
Yeah. So anyway, the doctor makes up a plan of some sort of electromagnetic field, which is going to disable the war machine.
Which I tried to bring up earlier.
You can bring it up now.
And basically, it works a treat.
Mm-hmm.
And
gets coerced into it straight away, doesn't it? Yeah. Like boxing ring round.
And obviously being able to sort of capture one enables him to defeat them, because he programs the war machine to go to Wotan itself and destroy it.
I like the guy on the phone. And is the world domination plan confined to England?
They generally are in Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Confined to a warehouse in England.
Yes.
Covent Garden and what? Yeah.
And it's like Jeff Waddle had problems with that particular war machine getting up into the they don't have freight lifts.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know if they've got freight lifts in that particular town.
They must.
Okay, if you say so.
You've got to get the equipment up there. They're not going to haul it up the side.
Okay. But anyway, so that's essentially the end of the story, apart from a bit where Ben and Paul are joined the TARDIS by, rather conveniently, the TARDIS hasn't dematerialised. It's had plenty of time to do so. And they're able to get in with Dodo's key.
Yep.
And then it dematerialises. So.
Well, he's waiting.
And
for
also, apparently, TARDISes were, or sorry, police boxes were made of concrete, and this looks like a wooden TARDIS. You can see the grain of wood on the side of it. And in fact, all modern TARDISes are wood.
That TARDIS looks fat. Very battered and old.
Yeah. So that's basically it. Now, I'm going to say what I think of it. Like I said, I think this is absolutely fantastic. Apart from that bit that really impacts me, it's one of my favourite Hartnell stories. If it weren't for that, it would be right up there. I think it's very in tune with the modern style in which Doctor Who is done, especially in the forthcoming Troughton and Pertwee eras. And I really, really like it. That's all I can say, really. Apart from bloody Anne. And whoever it was, well, did they have a script editor? They need shooting. They should have. I mean, how long does it take to set up one of these Doctor Who stories in those days? And they didn't notice it, and it went on air, and they've got this line in it. Master, it's so annoying. Master, what?
Everybody was referring to him as Doctor Who anyway.
But not in the series. The whole idea of the series, it's called Doctor Who because you don't know his name. So you're not going to call him Doctor Who, are you?
If you don't know my surname,
you're not going to call me Adam Who.
Oh, dear.
I agree with you, but I'm putting the BB... I'm assigning some excuses from Rhys Barton's Book of Excuses.
It's a terrible excuse.
Andy Deep.
Terrible excuse. I'm sorry, it doesn't wash. Jerry Davis
was the story editor.
Yeah, but I can slightly forgive Doctor Who and the Silurians as a title of a story. It's not in the dialogue of the story, so I can slightly forgive that. It's a bit annoying, but having it in the dialogue, it's absolutely infuriating.
Isn't there another story?
No.
Same problem?
No. Only in the two movies, they called him Doctor Who in the two movies, which makes them less canon-y for me. Because they're not canon at all, are they? Anyway, so that's what I think of it. Who should we have first? We should save Mary to last. So we're going to go for Kirby.
I thought it was very good. I wish I'd been able to see it a second time. And I plan to watch it again. And when the other night, I believe it was Saturday evening, I was in the middle of watching the fourth episode. Fred came in. She did not get into the first episode at all. She came in, started watching it, and just basically left.
It sounds like she left.
Oh, she left the room. She was just, and then I told her on Saturday evening I had to finish watching. I was about 5 minutes into the fourth episode. And she stuck around and really enjoyed it. So, and I found that to be really good to show how the show can bring someone in even if they haven't seen the first three episodes of the story. I had to fill her in with just a little bit of it, background information, and she thought it was good. And I thought it was good, and I wish I'd been able to watch it a second time.
Thank you, Kirby. Mary. I wanted to say Debbie. It came out with Mary. Debbie.
So the first time I'd seen it. And
really?
I'd read it, but I hadn't seen it. And I absolutely loved it because there just seemed to be such a close relationship with the later ones and just the whole idea of a computer taking over the world is a very... Yeah, I thought it was quite a modern idea, but actually seeing that back in 1960s, it was fueling the sci-fi realm was just fantastic. And I just absolutely loved this entire episode. I thought when I sort of zoned out for a couple of moments, I thought it was UNIT that had turned up, but then I realised it was just the Ministry of Defence. But I am going to be watching this again, and I'm going to make my husband watch it because he's not a big fan of the early ones, but I think he'll love this one. What was that?
A notification.
But no, I absolutely adored it. Absolutely.
Brilliant. Okay. Hang on. Yes.
Towards the end of Fury from the Deep, the Doctor is addressed as Doctor Who by Mr. Harris during the dinner party.
When's this?
Towards the end of Fury from the Deep, a second Doctor story.
Hmm. Well, I haven't really seen that one because it's not in existence, but that will annoy me when it comes to it. Thank you for that, Kirby. Here we go, everybody. Drum roll. It's Mary.
Oh, well, I'm going to surprise you because I really enjoyed this one.
Yay.
Yeah.
Well,
against all odds.
Yay.
I don't like stories set on Earth. I prefer outer space, spaceships, and all that. And what I find intriguing is that the TARDIS lands on Earth. I think this is the first time we have an Earth story in the first Doctor, other than
the entire story is there. Yes.
Yeah, the chase has a little bit, but this is a whole story set. And my reason for not liking the third Doctor stories very much is because they're all set on Earth. But I don't know, maybe because this one is such a nice little look into the 1960s, that I enjoyed that aspect of it. And I like the Doctor better in this. He's much more Doctorish. And less, you know, the doddering old man, you know, that other people are doing all the solving. He seems to be at the center of, what solves the problem. I also like the introduction of Polly and Ben. I think they were livelier and more interesting to watch than Dodo. Dodo, I just didn't understand, you know, what kind of a companion she could make. She seemed rather dull.
Yes. She's very much a children's sort of companion, really. The ones I've seen of her in, she sounds like she's patronizing the audience in some ways.
And there's so many things, and I think I also enjoyed it because there's so many parts of the story that I think you can just make so much fun of, like these big war machines where, I mean, if the planet they're taking over is made up of nothing but empty crates, they got it.
Yes.
That's all that this machine seemed to be effective at.
Empty grapefruit cases.
And when it would shoot off, it looked like steam coming out of that. I could only guess it was steam that was killing people because that's, you know, when it would shoot at the people, they would die. And I'm thinking only hot steam could probably do that.
They're deadly fire extinguishers.
Okay, over that. Yeah. And we've picked up on so many things that just really, from our viewpoint, just don't make sense anymore. And I think that's what made it kind of fun, too. So, yeah, I, of the Hartnell era, I like this one about the best.
Mm. Excellent. Okay, so there you go. I suppose we can move on to a bit of feedback now. And the feedback address, Mary, is what?
20MB at, I don't even know, do
no,
I?
No, that's too long. I wouldn't, but never
you're
made
catching
it.
Me yeah. at, you're yeah. catching me at a...
20mb.feedback@gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. All right, okay. God knows how loud this is going to be. We're just about to find out.
Well, good afternoon, 20 megabyteers. Andy Nunny here. It's 2:34 in the afternoon on Saturday. I'm sitting here with a glass of a French Chardonnay. Excuse me.
Unusual.
Oh, that's nice. Watching the cricket. QR Kirby snores. I think he likes cricket. Watched the rugby this morning.
He likes cricket.
Very disappointing performance, I suppose, in the second half of England to lose. I've had a kickball thing going on this afternoon or this evening. I might watch that. Anyway, but watched the War Machines this morning. I think it's probably the second time I've seen that. And it, it's okay, really, isn't it? I think it's quite interesting to see the way Doctor behaves, because he's totally unafraid of the War Machine. You see that at least three occasions, where he faces the War Machine down. Everyone else runs around in absolute terror to what is basically a mechanised dustbin. You know, it's almost like a Dalek in a way, but you would have thought that, you know, a bazooka or something like that would quite easily take those out. So 20 of those slow-moving things trundling around, you know, you hardly think there'd be terror and havoc around, you know, in the world, wouldn't you? So... Yeah, I've seen better machines there as well, and the way it finished as well with a suicidal war machine being sent in, you know, sort of preempting the suicide bombers that we sadly have these days. He was a bit of a cop-out, wasn't it? I mean, it sort of all sort of finished very, very rapidly, didn't it? Oh, the scoreboard's broken down at Lourdes. I have to bring an old man in. Of course, we said goodbye to Dodo. I mean, she sort of really disappeared, didn't she? And you know, she got bunked off in the being at the first episode, and that was the last we ever saw of her. And we brought Ben and Polly came, and we see them going into TARDIS at the end, so I wonder what their reaction was going to be. So I'm trying to think what came next. We were fairly near the end of the first Doctor's tenure.
Smugglers, right?
Now, we saw the really groovy hot space Inferno. My goodness, that was a happening place, wasn't it? So, complete with a blinky punch-up, you know, nothing changes really, does it? It's unfortunate we didn't see the Doctor strutting his funky stuff. We could have preempted the Ninth Doctor by becoming the first Doctor who danced. You know, we had John Pertwee did a bit of the demons, a bit of Morris dancing. Maypole dancing, wasn't it? But yeah, I just wonder what sort of shapes William Hartnell would have thrown, you know. Would it have been a bit of break dancing? We have seen him doing jiu-jitsu before, so obviously he was quite a live man. Do wonder what he would have been like. The rest of the characters, you know, they're all pretty cardboard characters. You know, you've got a standard scientist who can't see further than his own experiments. You've got a fairly standard Major Green, wasn't it? Who, again, yeah, fairly typical military. Of course, this one had Kenneth Kendall appearing in it, so I believe... didn't he live on the Isle of Wight? I do believe, if I remember rightly, he lived there. His partner. Adam, did you actually get to meet him?
Well, if you listened to the blimmin' podcast, you'd know that!
You never know. But the story trundled along, and it was... Yeah, I mean, it was a bit slow-moving, wasn't it? The first episode did actually set quite a lot up, in terms of, you know, you've got a mad machine, you're going to take over the world, but the rest of it was a case of... We'll get to the episode. So, not the best of stories, I'm afraid. I think the interesting one, you saw there's going to be a good rapport between Ben and Polly. You know, you do wonder, did they ever end up getting together or not? I suppose that's one of the great things you think about. And you said goodbye to Dodo, that really was about it. So, of course, there's the big controversy about Doctor Who, calling him Doctor Who. And when I saw the first episode, I thought, well, perhaps you could say it's Doctor Who is required, but continually as he went on to call him Doctor Who later in the story, that didn't last very long, unfortunately, did it? You know, nice while it thought, but yeah, that's life. You're surprised as well, because Ian Stuart Black, you know, he's obviously has written for Who before, you thought he would know it. Did nobody in the production team pick up, hang on, this is wrong, we don't call him Doctor Who? Surely somebody should have picked up on that.
Is it Roger Daltrey?
But yeah, run-of-the-mill stories, enjoyable enough. Passed, you know, an hour and a half while I was, as usual, doing the ironing, and when I finished that this morning. So, yeah, so be it. Anyway, hope you're all well. Oh, and one thing, Adam, I meant to mention the other day. The guy on the representation team, his name is Paul Venisi. I shouldn't know. I've known the guy 30 years, so he's a fellow Brummie, so there you go. Anyway, have fun, and be seeing you.
Many thanks, Andy.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you guys in the Isle of Wight were not listening while Andy was talking. You're whispering there while he's talking.
Yes, because he said something about writing for Who, and I said Pete Townsend wrote for the Who, and Debbie was arguing, saying no, it was Roger Daltrey, and it was Pete Townsend.
It was Pete Townsend.
Yes, yes, thank you for that.
it was topical.
Yes. I'm sure that was going to... Yeah, it was talking about Kenneth Kendall, and a very sad story connected to that particular story, and with the passing of Kenneth Kendall, that his partner, unfortunately, he couldn't face not being with Kenneth anymore, and he committed suicide. Mm. Yeah, it's a very sad story. Especially as he was substantially younger than Kenneth as well.
Yeah.
Never mind. Right. There's this one. Give it a play.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. Really? Voyager 1 has crossed the heliopause and left the solar system. The real Voyager, not Star Trek. They've put that thing where the sun don't shine. It's the World Cup in Brazil. Buenos dias. Bonjour. Hello, sailor. The War Machine by Ian Stuart Black. Ever since the surprise popularity of the Daleks, it seems Doctor Who kept trying again with other robots, such as the Mechanoids and the Quarks. Mustn't call the Daleks robots. This isn't eBay. Vulcan has a mixture of 20th and 21st century technology. A teletype and voice recognition. I think when Wotan knows what TARDIS means, that is hinting at its strange telepathic powers, reading Dodo's mind. Doctor Who should have put Windows 8 on that thing. That would bring it to a shuddering halt. We have a TV news broadcast to tell part of the story. A thing that Russell T. Davis was also fond of.
Yes.
There were later several films about mad computers taking over. The Forbin Project, HAL 9000, Skynet, The Matrix. Polly is controlled by the machine, but manages to fight it. Like Yvonne Hartman, yes, the head of Torchwood London, who fights against being a Cyberman.
Or woman.
The Doctor might be using his mental powers, when he knows the first war machine has run out of programming. It is bizarre when he fights the second war machine by getting into an improvised boxing ring with it. Dodo went for a little lie down in episode 2 and is never seen again. So it is, hello Polly, hello Sarah. Polly's terribly posh and Ben isn't. It's Mary Poppins and Dick Van Dyke all over again.
Oh, it's a jolly holiday with Mary. Mary makes your heart so light.
You haven't changed a bit, have you?
When the diet's dry and ordinary, Mary makes the sun shine bright.
And she certainly does.
But Ben didn't have an Oscar.
Bye for now.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ian.
Ben and Mary. Yes?
Master, may I take a 5-minute break?
5-minute
break? Before we get to the quiz.
Yes.
5 minutes.
Yes. Well, however long it takes me to run upstairs where the bathroom is.
Okay, we don't need to say any more. Thank you. Okay.
Go on then. So,
go on in.
Fill time.
Did you need to go?
No. Get Alicia to make it. Alicia! She's not even listening, is she? Should have got to make us a cup of tea. Get some use out of the kid. Where's my phone? I'll give her a ring.
You're ringing her and she's in the other room.
It's her wavelength, you see. Here we go.
It's a bit mean.
She understands phone. She doesn't understand normal communication. Hello? Hello? Where are you? In the other room or upstairs?
Yes.
Can you make us a cup of tea?
No.
Worth a try. Tom's made a couple of tea and stuff. That's all his children, slightly pink. You know, the process of editing my.
So everyone waiting to go home by the looks of it.
Funny, all the Isle of Wight Festival pictures are coming on now, but I haven't done. Oh, that's nice. Git. There are times I've wanted to have the opportunity to take a picture like that.
Picture like what?
It's a lightning strike.
There were some good storms over the last few days.
I did get a picture, but like I said, like the crack. But that was with the GoPro.
Oh, yes, I saw that picture. Yeah.
But I had the GoPro on time-lapse. So it was taking a picture every half a second, and I just happened to catch the edge of a... And it was all very wide angle, but unfortunately most of the lightning was... it was daytime, and it was up in the clouds. So I just want a really nice, lively storm at night, because it's much easier.
It happens
doing
always
it at night.
Over the south side, isn't it?
So either at night, when I'm working, when we do have really good lightning storms. But never mind, moving on. Are you back now?
Front and sides too.
Yeah, right. So we've got some feedback. Continuing this particular item.
Why didn't you just keep going with the feedback while I was away?
Oh, well, you didn't tell us that we could carry on with the feedback while you were away. So we didn't. There we go. Go on, Debbie.
How do you pronounce it?
Dinos Daniel.
Sorry, Dinos. G'day, Adam and cast of the 20 Megabyte Podcast. I thought I would share some of my weekend at Supernova. The Doctor Who part of the guests consisted of John Barrowman, I follow him on Facebook actually, and Terry Molloy. I only saw the John Barrowman panel, and John was his usual funny, dirty and generous self. There was a good question I remember about John's opinion on which type of mad supervillain are the best, ones that have a belief that they are doing right, comparing that to his role in Arrow, mad supervillain. I was lucky enough to get some photos with both Terry M and John B, and they were great. Where am I?
Terry Miller.
John gives you
on the Isle of Wight.
Oh, yes. John gives you a big manly hug and Terry pulled a mean face. Photos below. Also, while waiting for photo, saw this woman in a wheelchair in hysterics laughing with her friends. I looked at her photo and saw that John B had reached around and grabbed her boob. John is so funny. Plenty of Doctor Who cosplay, but with Stanley in attendance, you can imagine there was plenty of superheroes. I was disappointed that I only spoke to Reese for a short time. I thought for sure I would see him again, but not to be. Being in the same room and all, but there were just so many people. Next time. On the upside, met heaps of my convention mates. Still enjoying the show, but I am missing the Aussie input. Best wishes to all.
Well, there's some Aussie input as we speak, and you've got to see more of Reese than we do, so well done.
Yeah. Right then. Reese still is doing, he watches things, he goes out with his mates, and just he seems to have a complete social life just without us.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what's going on, but there you go. Go on, Linda.
Okay. And now it's time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. By me.
I won.
Adam's answering questions this time round.
Who's taking the scores down?
I'll take the scores down. I'm all ready.
We should put him in next. Put him in organised. Am I allowed to use my notes?
No, he didn't write the quiz.
I'm allowed to use my notes.
You can use your notes.
I don't know if he
was going to get to finish watching it, so I was just hanging around at home, so I said I'd do the questions.
I just about got the questions done, but not enough time to write them down, so I may use them at a later date.
Okay, well, that's still not fair.
Why is it not fair?
Because you were doing the research for the... Whatever.
I did... of course, I'm going to watch the... I said... Oh, shut up. You wrote them in notes down. All right, go on then.
Don't worry. He'll probably scoff at how simple the questions are. I've not done one of these before.
I'm dreading this.
Okay, well...
Sorry, Kirby, little by little, Deb's going to take over this podcast.
except with her being quizmaster, who's... She normally wins. I mean... She's needed to win, particularly this week.
Well, it's not going to be possible, is it?
And eventually it's Adam, we won't be able to get back on the podcast.
That's right.
Right, we're going to start with Mary.
Why not?
Okay. What does the Doctor hang on the TARDIS?
Oh, an out-of-order sign.
Excellent. Sorry, very easy one.
Right. I could have had that one.
Kirby?
Master.
Hey.
Who provided the original idea for the war machines?
Kit Pedler.
Very, very good.
Oh, good Lord.
And Adam.
Yes.
What does WOTAN stand for?
World Operating Thought Analog. Stupid abbreviation.
Yeah.
Stupid
calling it WOTAN. Yeah.
See, it's a good thing that I did not get that question. I would not have been able to answer that one.
See, so some of them are easy for others, some not. There you go. All right, Mary.
Yeah.
What is the tower called?
Post Office Tower.
Yep.
No, it's BT Tower. No,
it's Post Office Tower or GPO Tower. Yeah. So right, Kirby.
Master.
When is C-Day?
I don't remember.
I know.
Go on then, Adam. Go on.
16th of July.
Yay.
Which, by the way, was not the day of the week that they were saying it was.
Yes.
It would
be that day of the week. No.
But they didn't say the year, did they? So it wasn't set in 66. I think it was filmed in 66.
Oh, yeah. No, Master.
Yes. Yes.
They did make...
A reference?
No, it is the year because, remember, the Doctor in very early scene says that the Post Office Tower was just built.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Therefore, it was that year.
Okay.
But the
C-Day
would not be on a Monday until 1973.
Okay, good. Right, go on then.
Okay, Adam?
Yes?
What does WOTAN suggest should be built?
War machines?
There you go. I know. See, I told you how simple it was.
Simpler than one anticipates. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Still made him think, though. Right, so far we've got Kirby on 2, Adam on 3, and Mary on 4.
What?
Woo! What do you mean?
Yay.
Okay, Mary.
Yeah.
How much does the tramp tip the taxi?
Oh, he doesn't tip him anything.
He does.
I know.
1 guinea?
Nope. Okay, Kirby.
Half a crown.
That's right.
Yeah,
there you go. See, I'm not totally devoid of some questions. I was so worried these were going to be so peasy. Okay, Kirby.
Master.
What paper is the doctor reading?
I haven't the foggiest.
Anybody?
Nope. Hang on. I'm glancing at my notes because I'm pretty sure I made a note of this. Sure. Give me a few moments here.
Come on.
Oh, the sketch.
I could bring up
the
having some
sketch.
Trouble bringing up TARDIS with you.
Anybody? No. It's the Times.
How was it?
When he folds it over, you see it says that.
Well, that was a great question.
I like that question.
Okay, Adam.
Yes.
During the initial testing of the war machine, what distance is it effective at?
30 feet.
That's right.
I haven't got that written down. What's that?
Well done. So at the moment, it's Kirby with 3, Mary with 4, and Adam with 5. And no, he's not looking at my notes.
Look at my notes. Yeah, my notes, audible.
Okay, Mary?
Yes?
What does Ben call Polly?
Duchess.
That's right.
I know. Oh, sorry.
Kirby? At what bearing does Ben hide in the warehouse?
I don't know.
Anyone?
Mm-hmm. Good question. I don't know. I can't remember.
Bearing 250 degrees.
No, that's not what I thought it was. It was like a northwest, south, or something like that. So I didn't get that one.
Okay, Adam.
Yes.
Let me just check. What does Crimpton declare the object of the attack to be?
Take over London?
A bit more than that.
I actually have the note for that one. Take over strategic centers.
Yep, that's right. And assume control of all human authority.
Oh, okay. No, I've got that. Wouldn't have better write that down that quickly.
Okay. Sorry, I'm just trying to look at 3 different things at once. Okay.
Welcome
Mary,
to my world.
Who provides the voice of Votan?
Oh, my.
Oh, I think I wrote this down. Gerald Taylor.
Yep, that's right.
I've actually got that one because I didn't want to look silly and not know it.
Kirby.
Master.
What does the doctor suggest they keep open?
I don't know.
Anyone?
The radio channel?
Nope.
Options?
The door of the warehouse?
Weather eye.
What?
He suggests to Ben they keep their weather eyes open.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Okay, Adam?
Yes?
What happens to WM3?
That's the one that that they find. Oh, no, that's... Oh, no, sorry. Is that the one they find that's not been... sort of switched on yet.
Completely programmed.
That's the one I was looking for.
That's the one. Yep. Yeah. Okay.
Let's not fish for clues.
No.
No, he was aiming towards the right answer.
No.
Thank you.
Right. Let's see. Mary?
Yes?
What should the public not do under any circumstances?
Come out of their houses.
No, I've got something else.
Panic?
They weren't to do under any circumstances.
Ew. I don't know.
Tackle the war machines.
Do you know what? I'm going to give you Make that one. Balls. I'm going to give you that one because it's attempt to attack or impede the machines.
Oh, thank you very much.
Right. Kirby?
Master?
How does the Doctor neutralise WM9?
That's the one that's put into the boxing ring, the electromagnetic stuff.
That's right.
Stuff.
I've written down magnetic field box or boxer's ring. Adam?
Yes.
Name two of the major computers Wotan is due to take over.
Well, that would be...
Dad, do you want anything from the chippy?
Because Alicia's going to go if it's for free, yes.
Yeah, it is. What do you want?
Oh, I love the voice of that computer.
Plain
vanilla.
Salt and vinegar.
Yes, please.
I'm having
do
chicken.
Do you want jumbo or
small? I'm having chicken nuggets.
Whatever you feel like getting. Oh, jumbo.
Okay. Chicken nuggets. I'm going to go and get money and go down to Chippy then. Make some gravy. If you make the gravy. You've got to have chips and gravy.
You can't have it without moist.
Thank you. Or ketchup.
You've got ketchup.
Yeah, but no. Gravy and chips. I'm going to get...
Don't worry, it's not frantically searching Wiki for this
fairly
one.
Fairly soon, because your mum's going to cook dinner about four-ish.
Yeah, I'm going to go and get just chuck some clothes on and go down.
Can I come with her?
I suppose so.
I'm going to get chicken burger.
But,
anyway, right,
not pizza.
I'm
hungover. Okay. What a shame. What's the question again?
Why can't she go with her? I mean, everything's going, only within like three blocks.
Sorry, what was the question again?
Is going. Okay. Name two of the major computers Wotan is due to take over.
There was one in Washington and one in Moscow.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only ones I can think of, really.
That's fine. I asked for two. You've got White House, Cape Kennedy, Royal Navy, Kremlin, Charities, NATO, RAF, Parliament. I thought Charities was quite an odd one. Eldo, yeah. Telstar and EFTA.
Yes, yeah, what's Eldo? Another extremely good question.
Pastor?
Yes.
What is Eldo?
I don't know.
Eldo later became the European Space Agency.
Oh, right, okay.
But Telstar in itself is just a dumb repeater. It is not a computer.
Ah, okay.
Okay, but the audience in 1966 wouldn't have known that.
Yeah. That well, yes, they would have, because even I knew that when I was very young.
I was around in 1966.
Everybody knows about computers,
when this story is out, I was out around in 1966, and I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I don't know, but I didn't know that now.
Not to mention the fact I was only about Never knew old.
Right. Right, after that, Adam is on... Oh, sorry, Kirby's on 4, Mary's on 8, Adam is on 10, and now it's time for the free-for-all.
Do you want a large chip?
Does anybody want a large
medium
chip?
Sure,
I'll yeah, that's me. I'm having a medium chip as well, and a large makes two mediums.
Yes,
three.
I have
yes,
a cheeseburger.
Yes, yeah. Yes, thank you.
Okay, the free-for-all. First one in gets the points. Yes, I know. It's not as long as your quiz. I'm sorry. What ship does Ben belong to?
HMS Teaser.
Adam, there you go. Right. So after that, Kirby is third with 4 points. Mary is second with 8. And Adam is the winner with 12
I am quite right.
I'll do more questions next time. I didn't realise that wasn't going to be very long.
I'm so relieved at the same time.
Well, you're doing them again next time.
Yes, what is next week, by the way?
Battlefield.
Oh, good. Like Battlefield.
Yes, that's one I don't have to worry about.
We've done Battlefield.
I've seen it multiple times.
Have we done Battlefield once? Already?
No.
You've probably
on
done
my
Battlefield
list.
At some point in your broadcasting.
Hmm. Okay.
It would be on my list if you might have done it as a very early one. But those don't count.
Don't they? No, they're not canon. Yeah. Early 20 megabyte podcasts that Kirby wasn't on are not canon, apparently. Don't mention that to the co-founder of the show, otherwise you might not get me any chips.
I started in fairly early.
Yes.
So,
okay.
when you didn't have a co-presenter one day and just went on Facebook and said,
yes,
anyone out there on Skype?
Okay. What's the date today? It's the 16th. Last time we recorded. Oh, so there now, we go. Yes, hey, Doctor Who World Tour.
Master, are we going to try to have an actual topic for the Conquistadors or not? Or are we just going to wing it?
Wing it.
What do you think, Mary?
It does rather depend who's there, doesn't it?
We're going to wing it. We're probably not going to have much of a chance to see any episodes, so
well,
I think...
Well, they're not. I don't think our illustrious guests will have sat down and watched anything, so if they have, we'll just have to...
Well, know, like I mentioned on some messages, mm-hmm. our guests, two of the guests are in other things scheduled at the same time. We might get them like in bits and pieces. Mm. One might wander in and then leave, etc.
Okay. Well, that's why I think winging it was probably be the best.
Yeah, when I go out to 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.podbean.com mm-hmm. and search for Battlefield, nothing comes up.
Then I'll let you off. Okay. Okay.
Well, if a topic occurs to anybody in the meantime, we could always message it. And
yeah. I've got one. Doctor,
yes.
Doctor Who.
Well, that would be different.
Right then, news. The Doctor Who World Tour is upon us. And they haven't announced how to get tickets for it yet, but some of the dates have been announced. Funny enough.
I'm sure you're going to go.
It does say, you know, it says exclusive events in Cardiff and London on the 7th of August, but I can't see how they can possibly be in two places 300 miles apart at the same time.
No, I know.
And they've done the dates for other places around the world, like Seoul in Canada. Is that how you say Seoul, is it?
Seoul.
Seoul mm-hmm. in South Korea. Very odd place to have a Doctor
Why
Who.
Why there and yet...
What?
I want them to come to Atlanta.
Yeah, but I can't understand whether there'd be a Doctor Who following in Seoul. Sydney, well, New York, yeah, Mexico City, and Rio de Janeiro. Let's hope they don't pick one of the... slummier places in Rio.
Sounds like they're branching out and trying to attract audiences.
Well, I think it's a great idea. I think it's a fantastic idea for them to do it. I quite like the idea they're doing two in Britain, but I just wish that... I tell you, it's going to be so difficult getting... Yeah, it wasn't getting tickets for it would be a nightmare. So anybody listening to this show who is able to get tickets for the London one, if it isn't on August 7th and is perhaps on, say, August the 8th, then get me one and I'll pay you back because I'm sure I'm not going to be able to get the ticket for it. And even if you get one, I'll be able to find someone who will probably want the ticket. I know Heidi was moaning last year when I was going to the Doctor Who celebration that her son really wanted to go to it. And the ironic thing was I had a ticket available and it would have been Alicia's one because Alicia didn't go.
With them doing all of these theatre events that they've been... putting out there. I'm kind of surprised that this worldwide tour isn't being featured also as a theater event in other cities.
It may be. Who knows? It depends on how this coming week's event goes, I guess.
Maybe,
What
do you mean this coming week? You mean today?
Today, yes.
Yeah, so we're just waiting on dates to be... how to buy the tickets to be announced yet, so...
I'll be going.
Somebody was very, very kindly gave me the pre-book code for the Doctor Who celebration. So hopefully the person who sent me the pre-book code can actually send me the pre-book code for this one. I'll have a slim chance of getting them. Tour update. USA, Australia transmissions confirmed for August. Following on from the World Tour announcement yesterday, which would have been on the Wednesday, both BBC America and ABC have reported via their press release that Doctor Who will air in the United States and Australia, respectively, in August, with former confirming that it will broadcast on the same air date to be announced as the UK Kingdom.
You all are thinking that it's going to start up August after the bank holiday. When is the bank holiday in August?
There's one right at the end, isn't there? Last Monday in August.
Looking around, there's so the 25th, I think. Like that.
Yeah, I don't know how it can be after the bank holiday. Is that, say, the Monday? Because that would be September, wouldn't it? No?
Still August.
Only just.
Yeah, only just.
So sounds like to us Labor Day.
Well, yeah, for us Labor Day is in September. Mm-hmm.
So latest in Doctor Who magazine special releases, Essential Doctor Who is published today, and this time focused on the Doctor's wife. Interesting, it's called The Essential Doctor Who, because if you add a couple of words to that, you get with the Essential Doctor Who quiz book. No, that's not what my one's going to be. Yeah, so Doctor Who wins a Banff. Doctor Who has won the two awards at the 35th Banff Awards. Or the Banff World Media Festival, which took place in Canada over the last 3 days. It stands for Best Science Fiction, Action and Fantasy. Oh, right. So, and it won prize. Does it say what prize they won? I don't think it does, actually, does it?
They were awarded the Rookie Award for Best Science Fiction, Action and Fantasy.
Rookie Award?
Yeah, as well as also getting the prize as Best Scripted Programme, just beating The Big Bang Theory.
It's good that it's an award, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Peter Capaldi has won RTS Scotland Award. The Royal Television Society.
But the real good ones are you're about to say.
What do you mean?
John Barrowman and Julie Gardner, MBE.
Yeah, they're done. They're up there. Sorry.
No, I've got to that bit yet.
No, I haven't got there yet.
No, I was just saying that Peter Capaldi has won. What do you win it for, though? Is it from the Comfort says for Comedy Unit Chair. In awards juries which met for the first time in Scotland. Obviously he didn't win it for Doctor Who because he hasn't done it yet.
No. Well, it's hard for him to win it.
Although he has done two episodes, technically. Doctor Who experiences to be revamped. It's going to be rebranded and brought up to date with the arrival of the 12th Doctor. The exhibition will close its doors for 6 weeks from the 1st of September. The exhibits to be updated to reflect the new Doctor. Which is a good idea. The current walkthrough experience where you step through a crack in time and help the 11th Doctor will be replaced by a brand new sequence starring Peter Capaldi. So there you go. Mm-hmm. That's a real
has
good
there been
reason
any firm
I can say to my wife, let's go
Peter
to the Doctor
Capaldi
experience after September. Sorry?
I said, has there ever been a firm numbering of what Doctor Peter Capaldi is?
Yes.
According to
12.
Yes, he's 12th Doctor, according to...
So John Hurt is just the war doctor.
He's the doctor because he didn't call himself the doctor, so he can't be a doctor.
Okay.
He may be the same body.
Just
no, person.
Don't tell
the same
Ben.
Person. Yeah, I know. Ben just likes stuff. Be contrary. John Barrowman and Julie Gardner, you probably haven't heard this one, have been made MBEs. Yeah. Now, John Barrowman is somebody I'd really like to meet. And he did something in Bournemouth, I think, or Southampton, a couple of years ago, and I didn't really get an opportunity to go over there. So I'm hoping at some point somebody at Franklin Theatre will get him there to do one of some of his awful singing. Because he can sing.
He can sing, yeah.
But I don't like it. But I'd still go to one of his shows just for the possibility of meeting him. But congratulations to Mon Jarman, Barrowman, and Julie Gardner. Quite pretty, actually, Julie Gardner, isn't she? What's she getting MBE for? Doesn't say, does it? Right. Australian writer,
I guess.
What, for being Julie Gardner? Australian writers reflect on Doctor Who. So apparently a book says, Who's Doctor? Reflections on a Time Lord. I presume it's...
Not another
it's
book.
People talking about who their Doctor is.
Poems and things like that. Yeah.
I wonder if the BBC have approved this. Probably not. So that's it. That's news. A bit more news than normal. Which is unusual, isn't it? Don't think it's really worth looking at eBay this week. In fact, I've got an item on eBay. I've got my lens on eBay, and it's only got about £3.99 on it. Absolutely gutted. It's cost me £150.
Did you put a reserve on?
No. I thought it would be quite popular. At that price, it's a bargain. It was virtually brand new. I only bought it about 4 or 5 months ago.
Anything new with our sponsors?
What?
I've got a good idea. Well, I'm obviously Lavazzi. I haven't brought out any new lines of Doctor Who scarves yet, but the old ones and the tank tops and stuff are still superb and lovely, and you can get them from www.lavazzi.co.uk. Yes?
It was unusual this week. Ian did not mention them.
Yes, maybe he was expecting to get some item through the post because of his continued mentions, but no. I've mentioned it more times than you, Ian, and I haven't had anything through as yet, although I did get some discounts on my replacement scarf. So, there you go.
But that was before they became a sponsor.
true. But I still haven't had anything. Who's that flapping their ears? That was Star.
Sorry. Oh,
yeah.
Right, yes, we have a latest product. It's a Gallifreyan Coaster's new designs. I think that's, don't remember that being on there before.
No, it wasn't on there before, no.
Let's have a look at them. They look quite nice. £49.99. So they must be quite good. Oh, they must be made of solid silver. Yeah. Four Gallifreyan symbol brass. Oh, the brass. Yeah. Brass effect coasters, even. BBC licensed prop replica. So if they're a replica, are they saying that somewhere in Doctor Who they've had, she had Gallifreyan coasters?
Coasters, yeah.
Is that in that big...
Designs are based on the symbols featured on the new TARDIS, first shown in the Christmas special.
What's that
2012?
Got to do with the coasters, though, that were in Doctor Who? Anyway, never mind. They're £49.99. They're quite nice, really.
Yeah. And there was also, did we mention the Shakespeare notebooks?
No, he didn't mention the Shakespeare notebooks either. Many people know about William Shakespeare's famous encounter with the Doctor at the Globe Theatre in 1599. I nearly said 1959. but what few people know, though many have suspected, is that it was not the first time they met. So it's obviously, is it a story?
I think so, yeah.
999. Written by a chap called Notebooks. No, that's a yes. joke, by the way. James Goss. So, do you want me to read the blurb, or do you want to have a go at that one?
I'll do it.
My eyes have gone funny. I've been
drawn from the recently discovered archives. The Shakespeare Notebooks is the holy grail for bard scholars. Conclusive proof that the Doctor not only appeared throughout Shakespeare's life, but had a significant impact on his writing. In these pages, you'll find early drafts of scenes and notes for characters that never appeared in the plays, discarded lines of dialogue and sonnets, never-before-seen journal entries, and much more. From the original notes for Hamlet, with a very different appearance by the ghost, and revealing early versions of the fairies of A Midsummer Night's Dream, to strange stage directions revised to remove references to a mysterious blue box. The Shakespeare Notebook is an astonishing document that offers a unique insight into the mind of one of history's most respected and admired figures. And also, of course, William Shakespeare.
I wonder if the blurb was written by James Goss as well.
Probably.
And a few other people about me, because it does say James Goss et al. There you go. What else we got here? DWM 47.
Yeah, Al.
He did,
well, yeah.
Doctor Who Magazine 474 is out. Let's have a quick click on the cover of that one, because I can't see what it says. The very best first five decades as voted by you. So that's been out for a while, hasn't it? Talking about voted by us. Well, I've got the... what?
Did you mention that one before?
What, the Cruel Sea?
Yeah.
No, I can't remember if I mentioned that
from the pages
one.
Of Doctor Who magazine, every single comic strip to feature the Ninth Doctor and Rose.
Cool, that'd be good, wouldn't it, Kirby? Yeah, I think so too. That's what I thought, Kirby. Is Mary still with us? Because normally by this time she's gone and we're wondering where the blimey she is.
That's not usual.
The Wit, Wisdom and Tommy Wimey stuff, quotable Doctor Who. Now that sounds quite good fun. £12.99. It's a hardback book. All these items available at whowon.co.uk.
Yeah, I was ogling that one in Waterstones.
Well, the Wit, Wisdom
day,
and Timey Wimey stuff, I might have an ogle at that myself. That's basically the idea. We've got coming soon stuff, which is...
Pre-order books.
Yeah, pre-order books. About time pre-order books. So, that's it for, not news, whowon.co.uk. What about this task we had about doing that you've left at home and you can't remember off the top of your head, our top five best stories, top five worst stories, top five monsters, and I've forgotten to do the other ones you suggested last week.
Master,
Master? Yes, yes.
That sounds like our topic for Con Casterbarus.
There you go.
Okay. So the listeners have tuned in specially to listen to this part of the show for this week. Won't be listening to that particular topic.
That's something that could use multiple people and possibly even get some people from the audience. Mm-hmm.
Well, I do apologise, listeners, for letting you down, but that's not my fault.
You know, I have serious doubts that anyone tuned in just for that.
Yes.
Have faith,
Mary. I didn't have a chance to do it again, so.
You'd be surprised. I'm going to get loads and loads of emails of complaint. I spent time and part of my download thingamajig downloading episode 225 and there was no, as promised, top five.
I'll tell you what came as a big surprise to me is that what there's, because I used that list to count up how many Doctor Who stories there are out there, which is 156. Mm-hmm. And I have seen 85 of them. I didn't realize I had seen that many.
How many are there?
156.
Or that exist, or that were made.
Actually, I think it's the classic, 156 classics.
But that not that exist, though.
So that doesn't count the new series.
I was going to say, if it's 156 that exist, then I would have probably said I'd seen all those.
Well, I mean, of course, many on the list are reconstructions.
I'd like to see some reconstructions, actually. Although I'm not too sure, because you can get these telesnap stories, can't you? And listening to the audio, which you can get through.
Yeah.
I've got a load of them downloaded.
And some of them, you know, like Marco Polo, where there's, you know, I've seen some of that. Action video, but a lot of telesnaps, you know, so.
That was actually quite good. That's on YouTube.
I tried watching Marco Polo that way, and I didn't get into it.
Yeah.
I want to.
I had a hard time with that, too.
Yeah, I was okay with that. But I must admit, I've seen some of the telesnap stories, and I'm thinking that it might be good listening to the audio and just trying to follow the story that way.
Yeah.
But there you go. Anyway, so next week we've got Battlefield, which is going to be fun. And next Sunday.
It's too bad we can't get our seventh Doctor expert.
I'm not sure I can record on Sunday next week because, what's the date next Sunday?
Can't remember.
Because Deb said, oh, we've got to get the shopping done. We've got a really busy weekend. We've got so-and-so on Saturday. Oh my God, I know what we're doing.
What?
It's the 22nd of June, isn't it?
Mm.
It's Alicia's birthday.
Ah.
Therefore,
okay. Another Monday.
Yeah.
Oh, these Mondays are killing me.
Sorry, Mary. It's Alicia's fault. It's the co-founder of the show's fault. Well, we can't record next Sunday because where are we? The Burg.
Thorpe Park.
So there you go. So it'll be
where?
Thorpe Park. Come on, man. We discussed this last week. It's a great big theme park on the outskirts of London.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
Grief. So that. Oh my God! Quick.
Well, be sure.
Pastor. Yes, I'm stretching. Yes.
Pastor. Be sure you're available the Sunday after that.
Yes,
definitely.
Because we are recording on Sunday.
Yes, Curtis. Well, my children haven't got any birthdays on that particular Sunday. However, the dog hasn't got a birthday.
What if there's a wedding you have to do?
A wedding. We've got a wedding on this coming Saturday. We have got a wedding the following Saturday. Hang on, where's my diary gone? Deb, what are you doing with the diary?
Nothing.
What's that? That's 2013. This is 2014, probably 2015. Yeah. I don't know when the 2014 diary is. No, I need one. I've booked for weddings next year. I'm fairly sure there is a wedding the following week, but it's on a Saturday.
Good.
Yeah, weddings tend to happen on Saturdays.
No, you'd be surprised. Mostly on the Saturday. Pardon?
Do anything else I'm shipping?
No, thanks.
Right, well, then.
So anyway, Isabella, before you go, you watch. Come here.
Come here.
Dave, just a minute. What did you watch this morning?
The Time of the Doctor.
And didn't like it, did you?
Yes, okay. I did. Like
she
it.
Didn't. She didn't like
it. I love it.
She didn't.
She was watching it.
Yeah, she was watching it and gritting her teeth while watching it.
True.
Right. Okay, so that's about it for this week. I'm going to make Debbie a cup of tea. She's going to try and get out the door as quickly as she can, but she's not because I'm going to make her a cup of tea.
Okay.
The dog nearly had his head snapped off by the front door being shut on it. And that's why he's shouting, because he's not particularly pleased about nearly losing his nose. So until next week, when we'll be looking at Battlefield, as I said, and I shall return to doing the quiz if I can find time, bearing in mind I'm out of action for the whole weekend again, but I will try and watch it during the week. Thank you for listening to the show. Come back, listeners that switched off halfway through, and goodbye.
Bye-bye, Alton. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is the trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.